help us to commence this morning with hymn 263. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. 263.
Let us read together from God's holy word, from the book of Haggai, chapter 2. The prophecy of Haggai, chapter 2. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, All ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once, it is a little while, And I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels, out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew, and with hail in all the labours of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now, from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree, hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the four and twentieth day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. May God bless that reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, thou hast seen fit, Lord, to bring us into thy courts this day. And, O Lord, we thank thee for this great mercy. We thank thee, Lord, that we are found in thy house on thy day, but, to be found in the Spirit. To be lifted above the reach of inferior things, that our affections may be set on things above, that thou would draw us unto thee. Reach out thy hand, Lord, we humbly pray, and draw us unto thee. Take away the thoughts of last week and next week, and lift us above it all. And may we have an hour in thy house free from Satan's temptations. Oh, that our minds may be fixed, may be stayed on thee. Lord, we're in a body of sin, and our infirmity is that we're prone to wander in mind, and we're prone, Lord, to hear other voices. But do speak to us, we pray, this day. May we hear that still small voice. May the gospel's joyful sound be heard in thy house this day. May the gospel trumpet be blown with no uncertain sound, and may there be the ears to hear and the hearts to receive. And do us good, we pray. Lord, we come in all need. We come before thee as a group of poor sinners. We've sinful hearts. Lord, we've much to mourn over. As we read thy word, we're conscious, Lord, that we've many failings and shortcomings. We're not what we should be. Lord, we're unworthy of the least of thy mercies. And as we pray unto thee, Lord, we know that thou canst do all things. Thou art able. But, we have this feeling of unworthiness. Oh, may it not be unbelief. May it not be a hindrance. Give us that faith, Lord, that as we pray, that we may be that boldness, that we may approach the throne of grace, and that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But, oh Lord, in all our unworthiness, may we be found looking unto Jesus, for he is worthy. And it's in his name, Lord, that we seek to meet, and it's in his name that we pray. It is for his sake, and his sake alone, that we ask answers of peace. And Lord, he is worthy. For the Heavenly Father did say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then, Lord, dear Lord Jesus, do come and take our poor prayers and our poor attempts of worship and present them as that sweet smelling savour acceptable to the Father. May it be his merits and his worthiness and his fitness. And may it be he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. May it be that each who gather here in the fullness of time know what it is to be clothed in his righteousness. That robe of righteousness, freely given, imputed upon his dear people. May it be our blessed portion to be found amongst the children of God. Oh, may not a hoof be left behind. We think of each who gather here week by week. And Lord, we think of loved ones and families that we have. Some may be seemingly in a far-off country. Oh, may we be found bringing them unto thee in prayer, laying all at thy feet. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon them. Gather in, Lord, we pray, thy people. May this cause of truth be filled with praying, seeking, longing souls. May it be a favoured spot. May thy name be honoured and glorified. Make the place of thy feet glorious. May thy presence be known and felt. This day, even this morning, as we leave thy house, may we know and feel that thou wast in the midst. We pray, Lord, for thy help. Continued mercy to the friends, the church and congregation here. Oh, may there be that desire amongst them. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Oh, Lord, thou hast been their help. There have been times of blessing in this house. But what is this house to me, unless the Master there I see? May it be so, that we see no man save Jesus only. May we lose sight of each other this morning. May a precious Christ be revealed. Sinners, given a hope, enabled by thy grace to look unto thee and live. May a precious Christ be lifted up on that gospel pole, and many look and live, look away from themselves, and see their every need met in thee. Oh, how suitable thou art, how glorious thou art, what beauties there are. Oh, Lord, open our eyes. Oh, that we may have our eyes opened and behold wondrous things out of thy law. May we be led into it, Lord. Not just in the letter, but may the promises and the blessings in thy word be imparted to each. May the Spirit come and apply the word with power. And though spoken in weakness, may it be in the Holy Ghost. May it be in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Lord, we plead for thy mercy. We each need thy help. We cannot hear unless thou art with us. This poor sinner in the pulpit cannot speak unless thou art with me. Then do come and meet our every need. We would remember each, Lord, who gather. And if there are any, Lord, who are unwell, do be with them. Any unable to be here, Lord, meet with them where they are. And help, Lord, we pray. And bless us each. And as our worship ascends unto thee, may it please thee to send blessing down. And remember each soul. Thou knowest the cases and concerns. The hearts of each are known to thee. May it be with any, Lord, who have been seeking thee and yet feel not to have found thee. Oh, do encourage them. May thy word this day be a word of encouragement, a word of comfort. May it be a word of deliverance. May the prisoners be set free, the broken hearts be bound up. Be that good Samaritan to us and come right where we are. With the oil and the wine, may it be poured in and do us good. And may there be an eternal purpose for our gathering together. Lord, we're reminded of thy sovereignty. We heard this week of the death of thy servant, the pastor at Staplehurst. We would seek to bring before thee the mourning, sorrowing family and the church and congregation who gather. Lord, what a mountain before them. And these things, Lord, a shock and a surprise to us, but Lord, all in thy sovereign will. Oh, but may we be prepared. Oh, may we be prepared by thy grace. Oh, may we be ready, made right. We know not, Lord, what an hour or day may bring forth. We're on the brink of eternity. Oh, eternity, tremendous sound. And, O Lord, it is, but may we, while it is today, be found calling upon thy name. O Lord, do work in each heart. Give that thirst, that need of a hiding place. O Lord, and may those seekers be finders. Thou hast promised. O Lord, may there be one and another enabled to take thy precious name upon their lips and plead that blood that did for sin atone. May it be sprinkled upon our hearts. May the effect of it be seen in our lives. O Lord, may our conduct and walk, our conversations be as becoming thy people. O may our lives show forth thy praise. May we give ourselves unto thee. Lord, we do pray for each. We think of the young people. Bless them in this evil day in which they're found. Lord, help them, we pray. Keep them from the evil. be with parents. We think of children maybe having exams. Lord, decisions to make. May we not lean to our own understanding. Oh, but may we commit all into thy hands. May there be a seeking first the kingdom of God. Oh Lord, we do pray for thy help. Help to parents, give wisdom and grace and ability and patience. Help, Lord, to the church here in any decisions they have to make. Give help to the deacons, Lord, in their office and responsibilities. And bless us, we pray. Do pardon and forgive all that we ask amiss. Pardon our every sin. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously as we pray for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 806. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. 806.
Thank you.
turn with me to the chapter we read, Prophecy of Haggai, chapter 2. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Haggai chapter 2, verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. This word spoken by Haggai to Zerubbabel and to those who were concerned, involved with the building of the temple, the Lord's house, you remember that there was much to discourage them. They had been favoured in enabling to commence the work of the building of the temple, and yet what hindrances were met along the way, and how often it is, and you may prove it, you may have proved it in your lives as you seek to do what the Lord, you feel the Lord has commanded you, yet you come across opposition, you come across things that cross your path, obstructions. All things sometimes seem to go against you. Well, beloved friends, faith, though the smallest, must surely be tried. And if the Lord has given you a word, a promise, we must expect him to prove us and to try us in it. But for what is a promise unless we experience the Lord fulfilling it? And our events pointing to that great trial of our faith, that great day that lies before each one of us. How the Lord in love graciously tries his people and shows himself faithful to them, building up their trust in him as that day approaches. These words, I seeking that the words from the Lord to bring before you. I think it was Monday evening that this verse really was in my heart, and it hasn't gone away all week. Seeking a word to bring before the people at Swavesey, the church, the congregation. And really, it's this. So my spirit remaineth among you. Beloved friends, is that your desire? That the Holy Spirit remains among you. I believe that is the desire of not a few of you here. You look back at the Lord's kindness and goodness to you, and you look forward, and you don't know what's before you, but looking back you can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. You can raise an Ebenezer this morning. You can look back at all the way that the Lord has led you, and you know that you've only reached this day by his grace and by his help and through his mercy. And you've known and felt the blessing of the Lord in this house. And is your desire, I'm sure it is the desire of many here, but the desire of everyone here this morning would be, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. We're nothing without thee. We can do nothing without thee. Well, this word is for you this morning. Or maybe, I don't know, but maybe you as a church have decisions to make, have things to you've brought before the Lord, maybe individually. Maybe there's one here that they have desired this morning. Is, Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. Carry us not up hence. That the word of Moses, well, what an answer. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. The Lord has promised, covenanted to ever be with his dear people. Now there is no covenant promise concerning his church, as in a church, as in a cause of truth. He will ever be with his one church. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it's personal, friend. But oh, how the Lord has, in his sovereignty, departed from a cause here and a cause there. May we not be complacent. May we ever seek his honour and glory. May the Lord, our desire in our hearts be to ever serve him reverently and in godly fear. May we seek to worship him in spirit and in truth, and may that desire be, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Thou hast been our help, leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. Oh, may that be the desire. I believe if a church has that desire from the bottom of their hearts, if it's a true prayer, a true desire in a church, oh, the Lord will remain. Beloved friends, may it be so here. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. So we have this reference to the covenant. The Lord speaking to Zerubbabel. He's pointing Zerubbabel back, to look back at the covenant made. Right back to that covenant made with Abraham, and with Isaac, and with Jacob, and that covenant that was then renewed and given to Moses, as Moses had that commandment to go and to return to Egypt and to go before Pharaoh. That God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. And wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. The Lord renewing that covenant. And how faithful he was and is to his covenant. Oh, an unchanging God, faithful to that covenant. How unfaithful the children of Israel proved, didn't they? And you and I are the same. But I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, am not consumed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. an unchanging God. We can't understand in our feeble minds this unchanging God. It passes all understanding. That blessed truth and doctrine that whom the Lord loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. And we can't fathom it. And the more we go on, day by day, adding more and more sin, the more we marvel at that promise and his unchanging love. But here the Lord speaks to Zerubbabel. There's a work to do. There's hindrances. There's obstacles. But there's the promise. The Lord says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according." And there he brings to their remembrance. Have I failed you? Have I forsaken you? Have I failed to fulfill the covenant? Did I not bring the children of Israel out of Egypt with an outstretched hand against the will of Pharaoh? Did I not appear for them and bring them into that promised land, fulfill that covenant? Look back. See if I failed. Remember my faithfulness according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Oh, that promise that he would ever be with them. Ever be with them. Ever fulfill that covenant to them. Well, you say, well, that's an encouraging word to Zerubbabel. But we're here at Swavesey. And what does it mean this morning? Well, beloved friends, I see it, as I said with you concerning the church here, that the Lord speaking to you. The Lord has been your help. You may have things before you. I don't know. The Lord knows. Maybe there's a mountain. Maybe there's hindrances that you've met in things that you're doing. You're seeking to walk according to his way, but there's something come in the way. Maybe there'll be something to come in the way. Remember the covenant. Oh, remember his faithfulness. Remember who spoke to you and constrained you to walk in that way. That an unchanging, almighty God, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. He will have us call upon him in a day of trouble. He will bring us into the day of trouble so that we call upon him, so that there's honour and glory to his name. He does know how to get to his name, the maximum honour and glory. He knows how to do it, friend. Oh, may we look back at the way the Lord has led us. Look back at all the help he's given. And with that, have a courage. Be strengthened by it. Be granted a spirit of faith to venture forward. And hear the word of the Lord. For I am with you. For I am with you. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Fear not the unknown way. With the Lord with you, and a known sense of his presence, well, you know what a difference that makes. Maybe it's that you don't feel this morning. Maybe you don't feel that sense of his presence. But our friends, he's faithful. He is faithful. So my spirit remaineth among you. Well, have you the tokens, the signs, the evidences of it? Fear ye not. Fear ye not. The main thing on my mind this morning, it is more of an individual thing. This covenant, you see, we live in a gospel day. Blessed be God for that. There is a new covenant, a new testament, a new covenant made. And beloved friends, this covenant is a sacred covenant. And it's prophesied of in Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that portion in Jeremiah chapter 31, Paul takes up in Hebrews chapter 8, and speaks of this new covenant made between sinners and an almighty God, and the Lord Jesus Christ as the mediator of it, that go-between. But oh, how similar. I was only reading those words this morning to you, just now, concerning that covenant with the children of Israel given to Moses. Think of this in the views in the life of a child of God as the Lord deals with them. And I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, with whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. You see, the Lord's dear children, they're in the Egypt of this world. They're born dead in trespasses and in sins. They're born in Egypt, under the bondage and the slavery of sin and Satan. And they're slaves to it. And they can't free themselves of it. Are there any groaning sinners here this morning? You feel to be in the chains, in the captivity of Satan. You can't free yourself. You're held fast. And I have remembered my covenant. He's promised to hear. He's promised to hear the sighs of his people. You see, it's only his people who feel to be in Egypt and groan over it. Those who are not his people, they love Egypt. And they have no desire to leave it. It's all that they want, all that they feel they need. But the Lord's dear people, oh, they're brought into a feeling of captivity. As the Holy Spirit, they once loved Egypt, but now grace has begun to make a difference, and they're convicted of their sins. Oh, and they long to leave, long to flee. And the Lord has remembered, I've remembered my covenant, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgments. What a mercy. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. Wonderful, wonderful promises. Are you and I a partaker of this new covenant, where the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator? And he brings in redemption, And the Holy Spirit brings a sinner to desire and long after an interest in this covenant. Have you a desire to be found in it? This covenant that's ordered in all things and sure? For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. This is the word of the Lord. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. How can those two words be found in the same sentence? Merciful to an unrighteous people. Mercy given to hell-deserving sinners. Heaven, a place in glory given to a hell-deserving sinner. What can bring the two together? What can bring the two together? What can reconcile a poor hell-deserving sinner with a holy, holy God? The blood of Jesus. The blood of his beloved Son. That sacrifice, the only acceptable sacrifice, in the sacrifice of his beloved Son. Oh, friends, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that, he saith, a new covenant he hath made, a new covenant he hath made the first old. He has put away that old covenant, and the new covenant speaks of mercy, speaks of peace and pardon and forgiveness of sin. It speaks of mercy to a guilty sinner. It speaks of pardon for sins and transgressions. That there is mercy to be found. This new covenant, oh, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Beloved friends, may that covenant be ours. May you have an interest in it. May you see a beauty in it. You're in the Egypt of the world. You long to be free. You long to be found amongst the people of God. Can such a guilty, worthless worm be found amongst thy people? Oh, who taught you that you're a guilty, worthless worm? Who taught you that you're a sinner? He who taught you, friend, oh, will do all for you. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, that new covenant, that New Testament, what a beauty there is in it for sinners. It speaks of pardon. It speaks of peace with an angered God. The wrath of God, the wrath and anger of God for your sin. For your sin and mine. Oh, to see it spent and laid on him. That the mediator of it, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to see his death and your life. It speaks of pardon. It's pardon for sin. Sins past, sins present, sins to come. It speaks of a complete salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son cleanses us from all sin. It speaks of a people chosen by God. The will of the Father. Not the will of them, the will of man, but the will of the Father. The will of Almighty God. We cannot give an explanation for his sovereign choice. It's his sovereign free choice, whom he chooses. And we have to leave it with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. It seemed good to have that sinner and that sinner and that sinner. Do you long to know your interest in this covenant? Oh, a hope, an interest in it. It's for sinners. Oh, and it's made known. It's bestowed upon. We're granted an interest in it. Seeking, longing souls, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ in all felt weakness and felt need. Why? Because in him there's everything they need. That there's everything they need. They're shown their own faults and failings. They see their many transgressions and many failings. And they feel this unworthiness in them. But oh, to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy. He is worthy. Doubt no more. He's worthy. You're not. But he is. And it's he that is seen. And a poor, needy, trembling sinner is viewed through him. And we're found accepted in the Beloved. Beautiful. Accepted in the Beloved. Not in your own merits. Not in anything that you can bring. Anything you can do. You have to come with nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. You must come emptied. And it's empty sinners. And it's those with that broken and contrite heart that are found at the feet of the Lord Jesus, calling upon him. Oh, it is a day of trouble. It is a day of trouble. There's no trouble like it, that the conviction of sin. There's nothing like it, friend. There's no greater distress that can be known here upon earth to know and feel that you're a sinner, and an eternity before you. And you haven't that assurance that all will be well. There's nothing that can compare. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What a promise. He who changes not speaks the word. What a promise. Seek and ye shall find. What a promise. David knew. David was taught. He viewed that covenant. We're not sure, are we, how clearly he viewed the new covenant, the New Testament. But there were some wonderful prophecies of the Messiah when you read the Psalms. When you see and read the language, think of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you read through there how it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. David, at the end of his life, what does he say? Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is my salvation and all my desire. Oh, he had that. Everything was in his life. There was much to mourn over, much trouble in his family. He looked back at his sins and failings. And although my house be not so with God, he mourned over that. He wasn't dismissing it. It was a grief to him. Yet, he was resting on a covenant promise. Founded upon the rock, the rock Christ Jesus. Looking forward to the Messiah. That's where his hope was. Not in his own attainments and achievements. Not in his own strength and ability. But in covenant promises. And you read Isaiah 55. And there, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. This is the Lord speaking. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Beloved friends, what more do you want? What more can you want? What more can a poor trembling sinner need this morning? You've had your ears opened. You've had your heart opened. You've had the conviction of sin in your heart. You've been shown your need of him. And you're calling upon him. What a word of encouragement. The seeking. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But what a promise. Incline your ear and hear, and your soul shall live. Oh, what a promise. Lord, give me that ear to hear thy voice. Oh, may my ear be open and hear that voice speaking peace, pardon, and forgiveness. And your soul shall live, and I will make, not you, it's not down to you to make this covenant, I will make an everlasting covenant. Everlasting, from the foundation of the world to eternity to come, and a covenant that cannot be moved, a covenant not built on your feelings, a covenant not built on your ability, a covenant that will ever remain, and he's promised to make it with sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, beloved friends, what a mercy. Or maybe there's one or two of you here this morning who can look back and say, I've known a little of this covenant. And the Lord this morning is saying, remember it then. According to the words that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, you look back, the Lord brought you out of Egypt. And you're here this morning and you say, well, it seems so long ago. And I long to feel it again. I long to feel that pardoning love. I long to have that precious blood of Christ all in my spirit again, applied to my heart again. I long to feel that love of Christ that was overflowing in the days of my espousals, when I first knew and tasted and handled and felt the goodness of the Lord. Oh, I long to have it. I long to hold it. I long to feel it again. With you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. He's not changed, friend. What's happened then? Why is this feeling of forsaken come over you? Why is it that you feel cold? Why is there this lukewarmness? Wonderful thing, friend, if you feel it this morning. You know, it's the Lord who's opening your eyes. It's a wonderful thing. Not to have the lukewarmness, not to feel the coldness, but to mourn over it. Oh, Lord, take it away. You know, I think of that hymn. Is it 701, I think? The hymn writer there so wonderfully puts it. When my dear Jesus hides his smiling face, nor lets me feel the unction of his grace, I feel my loss, nor can my spirit rest, till with his lovely presence I am blessed. I mourn like one bereft of home and friend, and often wonder where the scene will end. Tortured with anxious care, without repose, I feel as one immersed in gloomy woes. The means of grace afford no sweet relief, but often tend to aggravate my grief. I cannot rest without my resting place. Sweet Jesus, come and let me thee embrace. Is that you? Is that my heart this morning? You mourn the sins. It's the sins, isn't it, that separate us between him, his presence and us? But he says, my spirit remaineth among you. Your sins, they're mighty, they're great, but his love is greater. I'm persuaded. Read Romans chapter 8, the closing verses. Paul says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? What can? Can your sins? They'll do this. They won't separate you from his love. Make no mistake, you cannot be separated from his love. But what they do, oh, they take away the sense of it. They take away the sense that he's with you, the sense of his presence. They rob you of that. It's like the cloud that comes between the sun. The sun is there. You can't see it, but the sun is there. And it's as strong as ever. And it's as warm as ever. But it's got a cloud between. And you're this side of it. And there's a cooling down. And there's an overshadowing. And there's a darkness spreading. He's not changed. The sun is there in all its strength and glory. But there's this cloud, the sin. Oh, friend, may you be given that true repentance to confess your sins. Lord, give us that spirit of confession and that wonderful, again, covenant promise if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, take that cloud away. Shine, shine upon me, shine into my heart. Oh, you know the difference, don't you? You've got a mountain before you. But when there's a cloud, what a mountain it is. When the cloud is lifted and the sun is shining on you, there's a mountain still there, but what a difference. How you can walk. You'll be like Caleb. Give me this mountain. The Lord is with me. What can trouble me? That sense. That's what we want, don't we? The sense of his presence. Oh, to know that he's ever there, but oh, to feel it this morning. Is that your desire and mine? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Confess the sins. We mourn those sins. I hate those sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Return, return, return. Oh, may the Holy Spirit work in each heart. May there be that desire, an interest in that covenant. Oh, may there be those here who have known an interest in it. Oh, be found seeking to know that sense of it again. And this confirmation. Friends, you're not saved on your feelings. The Lord says in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. What a mercy. You know, sometimes my thoughts are, I can't be one of his. Satan is often telling me that I cannot be one of his. I cannot continue. I must give it all up. But they're my thoughts. And my infirmity is that I'm a sinner. And I'm prone to hearing and listening this voice of Satan, bringing doubts and fears, questioning his love. The Lord's forsaken you. The Lord's forgotten you. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she shall not have compassion on the son of a womb? Yes, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. That's his thoughts, friend. You're not saved on yours, you're saved on his. Now, what are they? Do you know what his thoughts are toward you this morning? Oh, to feel it and to know what his thoughts are. May it be thoughts of peace and not of evil. Oh, friends, may it be so. But you see, the Church of God, their thoughts are often that the Lord is thinking evil of them. He will reward me according to my sins. He will deal with me according to them. He can't possibly continue to have such forbearance and forgiveness to an unworthy sinner. I'm back again with more. But friends, his thoughts, for his church and his people are fixed in eternity, and their love and every action, every dealing with a child of God from a heavenly Father is moved by love, and it's love in it. Even the rod, even the correction, even the rebuke, it's in love. It's in love. Oh, what are your thoughts this morning? Oh, may his thoughts be, I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Look at my covenant, remember it, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. And looking forward to that great day, fear ye not. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £680, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Parrish hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Philip Warren next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 534. Mercy speaks by Jesus' blood. Hear and sing, ye sons of God. Justice satisfied indeed. Christ has full atonement made. 534.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.